I just wanted to thank you for your words of encouragement with my dad's situation. You gave me energy, and when you said, you know, well, it sounds like it's going well, like, doesn't seem well. You're like, no, it's fine. And so I left on your message machine, appreciate prayers too, my youngest daughter and my wife were in a very serious car accident.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but, I mean, on Saturday, and so it could have definitely, my daughter misjudged and at night and pulled out onto a highway, and a guy was speeding, and so that didn't help. So her misjudgment and his speeding, he hit the minivan, probably, I'm guessing, going 70 miles an hour or so, and just absolutely destroyed the van, and my wife had 14 stitches in the back of her head, and it's a miracle that they lived. But praise God that, you know.
So did he hit the front of it in front of them, or?
No, he hit the rear of the van, but hit it with such force that it went a long ways down the highway. Then she went off the road, went through a fence, and so it totally destroyed the front of the van too, and they almost ended up in a ravine flip, which would have been flipped over in water, and it just messy. So
Mark, that's so sad.
Well, I'm happy that they're both alive. You know,
How about your daughter?
She's doing good. You know, she's shaken up pretty bad. She's 17, and so, you know, she was pretty distraught about the whole thing, which is good. I mean, you know, yeah. As you get older, what's that?
Was she hurt badly?
You know, not as bad as Rosanna. I mean, Rosanna. You know, cuts to the head are always. You know, bloody, and so
they
it was
bleed a lot,
yeah, there's a lot of bleeding, and but they thought that she broke her leg, but it just is a serious bruise, and so she's limping around, and my wife, they're both very sore obviously, but both you know, very, very fortunate.
What happened to the other guy?
He you know, he was fine. It was a big SUV, so he went into the hospital, but he was fine. He was driving on a suspended license. He had the wrong license plate on his cars, so he got issued a bunch of tickets and stuff like that. But yeah, he's safe, and so it was, you know, it was kind of traumatic, and that's just, it was interesting because that happened probably about 7 o'clock at night, and Ben, my 14-year-old, and I went over to my parents and went on a walk with my dad, and a short walk, and I asked my dad, I said, so what would you know, knowing what you know now, what do you wish you'd have known, or what is really important to know at the age of 14, you know, and so giving advice to my son, and he said, remember God in the days of your youth. And he said, and remember that everything can, in life, can change in a moment, in an instant. You know, and 2-3 hours later, he could have lost his mom and his sister. And so the thing that's interesting to me is, like, in perspective, like my mom said, you know, it looks like trying to get the medications kind of stabilized for my dad, and then it looks like he and my mom are going to go out to my brother's on the East Coast. My brother just bought a very nice, very large home out in the woods, and so it's a very tranquil you know, setting, and so they have plenty of room. His wife is a nurse. He owns his own company, and so he works from home.
What state is he in?
He's in D.C. area.
Oh, I see.
He's in the D.C. area, and so that looks like, I think that's a good plan. By and large, I think, you know, all the siblings are, you know, on track with the plan and have bought into it, and I think my mom and dad are, you know, they're interested, a little nervous about it, but I think they're, you know, I think they're interested. But my mom said, you know, my mom said something to me. She's like, you know, Mark, this is really serious. Dad's, you know, thinks he's going to die and he might have a month or two. I'm like, well, you know, Henry Ford said, if you think you can or think you can't, you know, either way, you're right. And the mind is very powerful, and physically, you know, physically, all of his, you know, all of it's functioning well, and so mostly it's with the mind for him. That's where it seems like the issues are.
Yeah, well, you know, the problem is when you cease to have a future, you cease to stay around. You have no reason to do so or even want to do so.
Right, and that's where, you know, I told them, I said, you know, Dad and Mom, and you guys have always been really hard workers physically, and so you're just going to lose that some, you know, as you, you know, as you go ahead and get older. I mean, you're just not going to be able to chop wood, carry wood. You're not going to be able to repair cars or, you know, do building. And so my dad's always been very, very physical. And I said, you know, that's just, you know, that is going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys need to learn on how to bring value to other people, not through work, but through other things. I mean, my dad's mind is, I mean, he is sharp as a tack. I mean, he...
Yeah, well, there you are.
You know, and so it's like, this is how you bring value. And I told him, I said, you know, what I have found, Mom and Dad, is it took me a lot of years as in executive coaching. It took me probably 10 years to realize, you know, Mark, God's really given you some very interesting, unique insights.
Mm-hmm.
You're different than the average bird. Not good or bad, but just different. And that has a lot of value to a lot of people. And I said it took me 10 years to realize that I wasn't maybe normal. And I said, if you guys have gifts, but you don't know you have them, you probably aren't going to share them real well. And my dad said, I agree with that. I mean, just boom, right away, I agree with that. And so it's like, I mean, it really feels very much like my teenage kids.
Well, you know, probably your father had some form of accountability system for most of his life until he retired.
See, I think what it is, I mean, he was with the GRBC, General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, so they're very independent.
Yeah.
So you start your own church, and so he actually really didn't, other than the structure that was put around him.
Yeah, but you have that.
Yeah, so there wasn't people, but it was, you know, hey, I'm a pastor, and a pastor needs to do this, this, and this, and this. So just from a response.
And you then you constantly have people putting demands on
yes.
you.
Yes.
That's a form of
accountability. Yes.
Because you either respond or you don't, and you make appointments, and you either keep them or that. That puts some sense of stability and value in your life.
Right.
Which, if you retire, you lose, and then you have to replace it. I think that, first of all, you have to be accountable for your spiritual attitudes, which is the Beatitudes. You got to be accountable for being grateful to God for the things in your life on a daily basis. It's the one thing I'm learning. And that gets pretty specific because it is the greatest defense against depression and defeatism. When you realize daily how many things you are thankful for on the previous day. And then the other thing is that unless you're holding yourself accountable or somebody holding you accountable, you miss the opportunities that God gives you to minister. And God never gives us ministering opportunities in areas where we have nothing to contribute. But he tailors them to just exactly what we can bring to the table to the situation at the time. And, you know, you retire from responsibility. I'm sure that, you know, his life was full of daily ministry to people.
Right.
And then it wasn't.
Right.
And, you know, when you retire, that doesn't change. It just changes the format. And if you cease to be of value to whatever community God puts you in, then I guess there's nothing left but for God to remove you to the community in heaven where you can be. So we all have to strive to not miss the opportunities. And God's not going to give us more opportunities than we can handle or than he gives us energy to handle. So, you know, the problem, though, is that our society tends to shut out and shut off from ministry those who are older and retired. But has he ever done any writing?
He has tremors that are pretty significant. And so I don't know that he's done writing. Not really.
Of course, he had to some extent, write some sermons and that sort of thing.
Right. I mean, he's done a lot of research and has a lot of sermon notes and stuff like that.
It would seem to me that that's sometimes an avenue.
See, this is the thing. My mom and dad are definitely old school, and I've told them, I've said that there's, I asked my mom, I said, you know, Mom, can you give me a list of five things that you would like to go ahead and make sure your grandchildren knew? And after she sent them to me, she said, oh, I don't know that I did. I didn't think about it much and da-da-da. And I'm like, Mom, intuition, instinct. And she looked at them later and she's like, wow, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a whole treasure trove of natural laws, principles, stories, history there that need to be passed on to a lot of, I don't know how many grandkids they have, a lot. And
why don't you organize the grandkids this Christmas? Get them each to come up with a question.
Oh.
That they'd like to ask Grandma and Grandpa. because he may not have the opportunity.
Right.
Down the road.
Right. That's a good idea.
That would kind of, if they accept that, that would kind of be an accountability for them. They'd have to do something.
Right.
Rather than live in the past or live in regrets or live in...
Right, and it's interesting. I found out a story I hadn't heard before. Like my dad said that his grandfather, my dad's dad passed away in his 50s, I think. And so, you know, young heart attack or something, and so passed away very quickly. But his grandfather, he said, got old and said, yeah, don't get old. And I'm like scratching my head. I'm like, okay, so the advice is don't get old. So what's the alternatives? I mean,
old is a state of mind. It was good advice. My mother never got old, and she lived to 97.
Yeah, well, they weren't saying it.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying it that way. He was saying, and so, and then my grandfather on my mom's side, he said the same thing. So I recognized that they've been surrounded and they've been patterned, you know.
At their age, all you got to do is check out.
Right.
Right, that's in their mind.
And so I'm like, well, I mean, if God blesses me to live until I'm 70 or 80, I mean, I want to be vibrant. I want to be, I mean, I can make so much of an impact, you know, then, and I don't want I want my kids to go ahead and see that too, you know, and their grandparents to say they made a big impact in my life.
Yeah. Well, to explain a little bit, your kids, all their grandkids are at different ages, right?
Right.
Therefore, there will be those who are handling their first love and all the uncertainty that goes with that. There will be those that are handling their job aspirations and frustrations. There will be those, whatever their life situation, if you could get each of them to craft a question asking your grandfather or your grandma or your father or your mother, how did you handle this situation? Who was your first love, and how did you meet her, and how did it turn out? Just questions like that.
Huh.
Wouldn't they all learn something, and wouldn't it really cause your parents to think?
Yeah.
I think my 10 o'clock one-on-one is coming in.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that advice and that input. We're going to do that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Ralph.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, how are you?
If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free in the United States at 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're overseas, you can call U.S.-based. It's 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909, extension 222. Thanks. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.